It's time for Real Estate Roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 28-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton, Florida. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
You're welcome. Let's talk about millennials today. It looks like they may be making a comeback here, especially considering that the percentage of homeowners have been declining in the U.S. for the last number of years. That's starting to change?
Well, yeah, what we're looking at right now, home ownership is about 64%. It was 70% before this Great Recession. Mm-hmm. And so it's these millennials that need to be able to, you know, start purchasing up houses. Households formed double the rate of renters' households in the first quarter 2017. So that's the first indication. We're seeing more household formations versus renter house formations.
Okay, so I'm not really sure what that means, but as the millennials grow older, they form a family.
Well, yeah, they move into a rental or they move into a house. So first quarter, the amount of households that purchased were greater than the rents.
Okay, well, that's a good sign, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, there is a lot of discussion all the time of whether it's better to rent or to own. And I think you can go either way, but there are some long-term aspects to ownership. Tell us about those.
Well, there sure are. You've got long-term wealth. Owning a home is one of the best ways to build long-term wealth. You know, the longer you own the home, in theory, it builds equity. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, freedom. Homeowners are free to renovate and decorate and do whatever they want to their house. And then finally, a family investment. You know, for many, homeownership is a lifestyle choice, a place to, you know, where they want to raise a family, build memories, be part of a larger community. So those are the three main reasons.
Well, this is not a definitive statistic. It is interesting to note that homeowners' net worth is set anywhere from 31 to 46 times that of a renter.
Right.
I don't think it necessarily means that owning a home makes you wealthier, though I think that would be a pretty big part of it.
No, it's a forced savings account.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
You know, and from what I see in my business, I'll have people come down from up north, and really all the money that they have is their Social Security mm-hmm. and the money that they got from selling their homes that they lived in for 55 years.
Exactly. I totally agree. Also, you know, we deal with a lot of people, and as they age, we find that if they're running low on money, there's always their home as the final equity. Most of those homes are paid off. And in numerous cases, I can tell you that that has taken people to the end of their days.
Right. And now they have reverse mortgages. Mm-hmm. And that's not for everyone, not to promote.
Yeah, we're not promoting anything here. Sure. But I mean, it is an option. It's kind of a last option. Now, more homeowners have regained their equity since the crash as well. Tell us about that.
You're looking at about 9 million U.S. borrowers have regained their equity since the height of the mortgage crisis mm-hmm. back in 2011. This is according to CoreLogic, based on the first quarter equity report. So, you know, that's all real positive. And then also, you think back, how many people were underwater?
Yeah.
And now you've got all these people that are now above water. They're building equity in their houses. They can actually see it. Right now, the average homeowner has gained about $13,000 in equity between the first quarter 2016 and the first quarter 2017. So that's substantial if you're looking at the average homeowner gain.
Yeah. And also at all during that same time, they've been paying down their mortgage to, you know, greater or lesser degrees, but still they're building equity that way as well. So this is all good for the economy and it's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. There's a double whammy in the positive sense to this, because this means that, you know, the mortgage risks of default decline when we have this buildup of equity.
I know. So what are some of the areas in the country that had the most positive equity, and what are some of the worst areas?
Sure. Texas, they had the highest positive equity at 98%, followed by Utah at 98% as well, and then mm-hmm. Washington, Hawaii, and then Colorado.
Okay. West.
All west. Go west, my friend. And then Nevada had the highest percentage of homes with negative equity.
Interesting.
Has something to do with gambling, I'm sure. And then here comes Florida.
Why is Florida always in the top?
I know, we're always on a list. Good or bad, we're on a list.
Really?
But this is Florida, in a negative equity at 11.1%.
Which just means that the percentage of homes with negative equity is 11%. So 1 out of 10 homes in Florida are still underwater.
Right. And keep in mind that this number was a lot worse. So this is actually, you could look at it, this is a positive thing that we have.
Right, right. It's getting better.
This amount of negative equity. Illinois is at 10%. New Jersey's 10%. Connecticut's about 10%. These are the top five states.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to switch gears here. Real Estate Survival Guide. Should landlord evict tenant with new roommates? Here's the question. We just renewed our tenant for a second year. When we rented to him, we agreed in the lease that it would be just him living there. Now it seems that he's let another person move in with a small child. Are we stuck with this situation?
Actually, no. A lease is actually a contract, and it's between you and the tenant. If there's going to be somebody else that's in the house, they're supposed to be named in the lease.
Mm-hmm.
But by moving in additional people, technically the tenant is breaking the lease and really needs to get permission from the homeowner. I see this play out, Steve, in several cases where a tenant will move somebody in and then the landlord gets all upset. If you're a tenant and you're going to move someone in, it's really best to, you know, make them aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, a lot of reasons for it. One thing that's interesting, when you write a lease, anyone over the age of 18 is supposed to be named on that lease. Because let's pretend the tenant is not making its rent. You try to kick them out or evict them. Well, the other person who's not named on the lease, next thing you know, they're a squatter.
Yeah, oh, I see. Yeah.
And so it's really important.
Wow, that's interesting. But I think it's the idea of evicting is pretty difficult. So I think it's better to just try to work it out.
Absolutely. You don't want to go down that road. You just need to have open communication with your tenant.
Yeah, maybe that other person is just there for a long vacation. I mean, how do you really know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Good advice. My guest, as always, is Terry Story. Terry is a 28-year veteran with Coldwell Banker, located in sunny Boca Raton, Florida, and she can be found at terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.